Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is October already. I'm telling you, looking back to September, it seems like it just ran through. Actually, I felt like I was still in September, but we thank God for this opportunity to connect one with another. If you're excited about Jesus, can you just type Jesus in the chat? Wherever you are sitting or standing, just say Jesus, put some emoticons, lift up those hands, wiggle those toes, just to thank God for another opportunity of fellowship, connecting one with another. I just want to thank you so much for praying for our revival. We had a wonderful revival. God did amazing things and just encouraging our hearts. And even though the enemy is mad, I just thank the Lord that God never leaves us nor forsakes us. Again, continue to stay connected to ebcnc.com. Share that. So many. I get texts often or call, Pastor, looking for such and such. Our website is the back end. It has YouTube Connect, so we've got all our videos there and our Monday Manas, our Tuesday Noonday Bible Studies. Then we have our Wednesday Bible Study where we're going through the book of Luke at 7 o'clock on that virtual connection. And then on that Thursday, we have our in-person Bible Study where we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians. So just a lot online. And I just praise the Lord that He is actually making us living epistles. Yes, so that we can fulfill the calling that God has on our lives. If you look at my backdrop, you can see that gem, that ruby of a type, and the different facets. Remember that word. And God has put a treasure in these clay pots, these clay vessels that is so, so magnificent. And it's all because of His grace and His immense mercy. I want to thank you for just praying for our 8:45 in-person service, our 10:45 in-person service, and our 10 o'clock online. Again, God has just helped us to stay connected. Thank you for your giving. You have been a blessing via our virtual connection. Those that are part of Ebenezer, those that are not part of Ebenezer, we hold forth that scripture that says God loves a cheerful giver. And so we have learned how to purpose in our heart and just rest in the Lord. So thank you for assisting us to reach out. There's so many people that are going through. We've got some that are struggling with their rent, some that are struggling with life. We send funds overseas, and as we send funds overseas, we're able to bless people that we don't even know. And so I thank you, thank you, thank you for your giving. Finally, we have a workshop that's coming forth that really helps us to fulfill our calling. Literally, we have Dr. Laverne Collins, and she is a certified psychologist, therapist, and she created a workbook years ago. And as I've been preaching through this series, she was touched in her heart to share her work. And so our first workshop is coming up October 8th. So we need you to go ahead and register online. You can go to our website, use that app, and go ahead and get that information, because we have to prepare for that workshop. We have to give everything printed out so that when you come in with those workbooks, we can jump right in and we can learn more about the calling that's already on the inside. Remember that God has placed a calling from the foundations of the earth inside of us, so we can definitely just trust Him and walk in His power. Well, I'm thinking about the Word of God. I am ready to get into the Word, but I want us to just prepare our heart to take a time of worship and just focusing in on the Lord. We'll see you soon.
This morning, I'm going to be reading Psalms 1, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Thank you.
I surrender all to you. withholding nothing.
Withholding nothing.
Y'all sound so beautiful. Say it.
So
everything I give to you.
Everything.
Oh, I give to you. Withholding nothing. If you want to be delivered, let yourself go. Withholding nothing. I surrender all. I surrender. God, I'm going to give you my problem. I'm not going to try to solve it no more for myself. As the preacher said, you should have left it at the door. And if you think you're going to pick it back up, we got other exits. Or if it's going to cling to you, we got other exits. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. I surrender all. I surrender all to you. It's like spring cleaning. You know, a part of life when we call it spring cleaning and we go in those places where we've looked at it, we've passed it by, and we say, we're going to go into this place this time and we're going to clean these things out. And you know what's so beautiful about that? I surrender. Sometimes when we go into those places, we find stuff that we thought has been lost. Yeah. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing.
Withholding nothing.
I give myself away. I give myself away. Oh Lord. I give myself away. So will you. Did you know that the Lord wants to use you? Even in your brokenness, God's got a plan for you. If He didn't have a plan for you, church, you wouldn't be here today. Trust me. Your journey would be over and you'd be in heaven. So you need to empty yourself. I'm going to empty myself and say, you know what, God can use me. I give myself away. Those who are dealing with things that you might not tell your sister or your brother or even minister to anyone else, but you can tell the Lord today. There's a message that's going to be for us today. I give myself away. Give myself away. Oh Lord, I give myself away.
So
you, I surrender all. I surrender all to you. Lord, I'm gonna give it to you. Everything. I've been broken, God, but I'm gonna give it to you because I trust your word. Withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing. I surrender all, I surrender all to you. Withholding nothing, withholding nothing. Now give God some praise like you love Him.
Aren't you glad that we all can sing that song, Withholding Nothing? We want to give everything to the Lord. Well, I'm excited just to get back into the Word today and to walk through this whole topic again about fulfilling our calling. I really feel it strong in my heart. And we're going to go back to that memory scripture because we've been reading it aloud so that we can get it deep down into our hearts. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and that 19th verse. So if you focus in with me and I ask you please to read it aloud with me, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Isn't that good? We are God's. He has taken us into His family. We are His children. Well, before we go any further, I want to just go in a time of prayer, and I ask you to please pray with me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this wonderful day that you've made, and Lord, help us just to continue to rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, we need a word from you. Touch our hearts, Father. There's so many that are going through and they're in a hopeless state. But I thank you for your word that brings hope. Lord, if there's some that are listening in and viewing in that don't know you today, I pray that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead, and you said they would be saved. Oh, that they receive that immense grace from you. Now, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We sent you in this service. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we are transitioning today. We've been in the Old Testament with this topic, Fulfill Our Calling. And so we're going to transition to the New Testament. And the Lord just put on my heart, what a better way to start out in the New Testament with Jesus. Any amens out there, just put chat, amen, just say amen. So let's go to Luke chapter 4, around that 18th verse. One of our revivalists actually was in this. Our last one, Pastor Henry Davis, I'll talk a little bit more about him later. He was in this chapter, and it was a confirmation in my heart that this is exactly where we need to be at. So Luke 4:18, it reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty all those who are oppressed." What a powerful scripture. Today's title of the sermon, we want to talk about the anointing. Yes, the anointing. The idea of this anointing, as we're connecting with the fulfillment of our calling, is God's divine guidance and empowerment in the call that has been placed upon your life. I want to read that again to you. God's divine guidance and empowerment in the call that has been placed upon your life. There's a call, whether you like it or not, that's been placed upon our lives. And when we are born again, when we are accepted into God's family, that calling, that that fulfillment of that calling begins to grow on the inside of our hearts as we're seeking the Lord with our whole heart, mind, soul, and a strength. The anointing also has another term. It's the picture of oil being poured on someone, especially that picture in the Old Testament in Psalms 133. I remember Aaron had talked about that oil that ran down his beard. And so in this same process, I want you to think about that in your life, that God has literally, he's poured, he's anointed you with a calling that only literally he can fulfill in us. Ryan Cadoli, I love this song. He's saying, "Anointing, fall on me, anointing, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me, anointing, fall on me." Then he says, "Touch my hands, my mouth, and my heart. Feel my life, Lord, every part. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me, anointing, fall on me." Well, as we enter into this section of scripture, the time frame is actually early in Jesus' ministry, around AD 31, as he is walking in the power of his Father, being led of the Holy Spirit. As we enter into this particular scripture, it seems to indicate that as he comes out of that time of temptation, as the enemy has come in and he was able to overcome him by the word of God, there's a gap of about a year as he enters into this area to minister and comes back home to really share his calling with others. Let's jump into this section, Luke chapter 4 and 14. "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogue, being glorified by all." Here's our first point of the day: the leadership of the Spirit. Yes, the leadership of the Spirit. Jesus, being God, he walked in the very foundation of who God is, being led of the Holy Spirit, that Trinitarian coming together, all that God is, 100% God, yet 100% man coming together. Now, this is critical in our calling. We have to be led of the Holy Spirit. Notice John 16:13 pulls out this meshing together of this thought. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. In order to fulfill our callings, we must learn to yield to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Any amens out there? We've got to find ourselves to the point of saying, you know what, God, not my will, but let thy will be done. I think sometimes we have a hard time in doing this because when we talk about the leadership of the Holy Spirit, so many of us maybe have been raised in different backgrounds where Holy Spirit was more of an emotional expression. Literally, when you read through the scriptures, you don't see that as often as we have portrayed it within our churches. The leadership of the Holy Spirit is leading us every day and talking to us and ordering our steps on a daily basis. That means on our jobs, and that means when we're in the grocery store, that means when we're driving our car. That's the true leadership of the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 19:21 really builds up this thought pattern. It says, there are many plans in a man's heart, nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that will stand. Look closely at this Luke 4:15 again. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. See, when you're walking in your calling, those around you will sense the leadership of the Spirit. They will sense that you're exactly where you need to be at. But notice this grows on as we examine the calling upon Christ in Luke 4:16. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and his custom was he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. I love this point. It's already in you. Yes, it's already in you. Can you put in the chat, say me. Just put me in there. Type it real quick there. Wherever you're sitting and standing, just say me. It's already in you. I truly believe our call is closer than we think. I don't think that we have to do a whole bunch of searching for it. Thank God for the classes that we're going to put forth to help us to identify the calling in our lives. But I believe for the most part, many of us have a kind of inkling of what that call is. We may be afraid of it. We may be using it in some other business industry, but it's already in us, that capacity to walk in the calling that God has put in our lives. Jesus' custom, look at this, was to go to the synagogue. Yes, this is his custom. This is tradition. Just like we go to church on Sunday, our tradition. Many of our Bible studies are on Wednesdays. We have Thursdays. Actually, we have Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. In that whole process, we put forth traditions. But notice, when they went to the synagogue, he was one of the usual readers. Yes, look at that scripture. Theologian Ed Henson actually gives us a picture which is so insightful of the season and time. He says, this is the oldest known description of a synagogue service. There would be prayers, both public and private, a sermon if someone suitable were on hand to deliver one, and several readings from the Old Testament. Here, Jesus functions as reader. It's already in you. Yes, the ability, of course, he is the Word of God, being led of his Father, that whole process. But now it is being fulfilled. It's being manifested. Please understand this. Singers sing. Any amens? Anointed musicians, they play. They play. Anointed speakers, they speak. Anointed organizers, guess what? They organize. Our calling is generally recognized in some capacity that's around us. As said earlier, on our jobs or using it in some type of group, it's already in us. Jesus had learned years before that this reading process. Remember, he's 100% God, yet 100% man. So he went through all the things that we went through, but he excelled. This was a part of that gifting that that call that was in his life. I thank God for that gifting. Let me show you Luke 4:17. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty all of those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Here's the point. Facets of the call. Yes, facets of the call. The word facets has a beautiful word picture. It's a gem. It's a gem. When you look at that ruby that I have on the side of me, you can see that it has different sides to it. It's the same treasure, but when the light hits it, it reflects off of those different facets. It's the same thing within our lives. We have facets of the call. We have that ruby, which is the call, but it has different ways of reflecting within our lives. There ought to be some amens in the house. Let's look at Jesus' calling. As he read it from Isaiah 61, we want to break it down. He stands up. He reads it. He puts it forth. The anointing is upon him. Pastor Farstead, the theologian of that time, he begins to talk about this. He says, notice the revolutionary implications of the Messiah's mission. As Farstead is looking at the details of that time, he's writing it down. God is speaking to him, and it says he came to deal with the enormous problems that have afflicted mankind throughout all history. I love this part. He breaks it down. He says, poverty. This is what Jesus speaks to. Preach the gospel to the poor. That's a facet of his calling. Sorrow, to heal the brokenhearted. That's another facet of the calling upon his life. Bondage, to proclaim liberty to the captive. Suffering and recovering of the sight to the blind. Oppression, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. In short, he brings out, he came to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the dawning of a new era for his world's sighing, sobbing multitudes. He presented himself as the answer to all the ills that torment us. And it is true, whether you think of these ills in a physical sense or in a spiritual sense, Christ is the answer. Can you put in the chat, Christ is the answer? I need a quick type. Let's put that. Christ is the answer. Wherever you're sitting, stand and say, Christ is the answer. He is the answer. And we get a beautiful picture of the anointing upon his life and what God wants to do in our lives. What are the facets of your calling? Yes. How is the anointing flowing in your life in this season and in this time? Look at Luke 4:20. Then Jesus closed the book. He gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. This is a drop mic moment. Yes, he reads this, and if he had a mic, he just dropped it. And because everybody is quiet at this point, Luke 4:21, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Here's the point. One word: purpose. Purpose. Can you repeat after me? I have purpose. Oh, doesn't that feel good? I know some of you need to hear that again, because you're going through something right now. You're struggling through some things, and you're like, you sometimes you feel that you're just on a downgrade, that hope is being taken. But just repeat after me: I have purpose. Yes, that is so wonderful. It's exhilarating. The definition of purpose, it's the reason for which something is done or created, or for which something exists. Yes, we've got purpose. And in 2002, Pastor Rick Warren, he was the leader of the Saddleback Church. He actually wrote this book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And in that book, so many people flocked to read it because they wanted to know their purpose. They wanted to know, why were we created? And he sold thousands upon thousands of books simply selling the fact of purpose. People in our season, in our time, in our society are losing the thought of purpose. Here Jesus states his purpose and that it has been fulfilled only through what he's walking in, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the anointing that's upon his life. He is the one that's going to take our sins and bear our griefs on the cross of Calvary. But we must realize that God has placed a deep purpose in us, that we can celebrate him and that we can share Jesus with other people. We have to embrace the thought pattern of why were we created? Yes, you ever thought about that? I remember as a young boy growing up in McLeansville, I used to lay on the side of a hill and I would look up at the stars and I would think about why am I here? And I would think about God and why have I been created and what is the purpose for my life? Solomon, the wisest man under Jesus, he says this in Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. I'm telling you, this is important. We have purpose. Elon Musk, one of the richest men in the world, he made this statement. There have to be reasons that you get up in the morning and you want to live. Why do you want to live? What's the point? What inspires you? What do you love about the future? If the future does not include being out there among the stars and being a multi-planet species, I find that incredibly depressing. You've got purpose and that purpose is to fly into what God has called you to be and to fulfill that call that's deep on the inside. Oh, that the anointing of God would fall upon us today to fulfill all that he has for us. Look at Luke 4:22. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? He said to them, you will surely say this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard and done in Capernaum, do also in your country. Then he said, assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. Here's the point. The family factor. Yes, the family factor. I'm the first to admit, I love family, man. I love family. I love to be connected with those that are around me. But sometimes we've got to realize that whether knowingly or unknowingly, sometimes those who are the most closest to you can actually push you out of your calling. Oh, they ought to be some amens in the house. See, they know us. They know us. And because they know us, they've known the decisions that we've made. And sometimes those familiar connections can really dissuade us from embracing all that God has for us. Look at the scripture again, Luke 4:22. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words. They sensed the anointing in his life, which proceeded out of his mouth. And then somebody, I could see this, and they said, they began to whisper, is this not Joseph's son? Yes, the anointing is powerful. Everyone is shaking. I can sense the Spirit of God all in the room, but there had to be someone, you know what, this can't be true. And they go back to that familiar connection. They go back to the family factor. But Jesus understood, in spite of family and friends, he had to walk in the calling that Father God had upon his life. He accepts and states this in Luke 4:24. Then he said, surely I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Now, you got to see, man, they're like, isn't this Joseph's boy? And now he's up in the synagogue and he's reading. We're celebrating that he's a good reader. He's an anointed reader. But now he's saying these prophetic things. And now they're trying to dismiss the calling that's on his life. Just because you're not accepted amongst family and friends does not mean that you're not accepted with God. There ought to be some amens. And how just because your mama maybe doesn't like you, doesn't love you, doesn't encourage you, or your daddy's not there for you, please understand that doesn't mean God is not encouraging you. He's not accepting you. He's not wanting you to fulfill everything that he has for you. Please, we've got to walk out of that past family curses that have been upon our lives. I know we've inherited some things and the enemy thinks that he's got us all locked up. But when the anointing is on our lives, when the anointing is moving on the inside of us, we can do all that God has for us. There ought to be some shouts of praise out there. Just because mom and dad fail doesn't mean that you have to fail. There ought to be somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Put it in the chat. Thank you, Lord. Just because there have been failures in your family line does not mean that you have to fail. With God, all things are possible. And there's a movie that really blessed me and my daughter. I'll put her name out there, Tabitha. She likes to look at animations, and I really wasn't feeling them in the animations a lot of times. But in 2016, this movie that came out, it was called Zootopia. Yeah, Zootopia. And I was like, nothing good can come out of Zootopia. But as the storyline went on, I began to get caught up. Let me just give you a little brief synopsis of what's going on. There's this little girl. Her name is Judy Hopps. And Judy Hopps, yes, she's a rabbit. She has this goal to become the first rabbit police officer. I know, just go with the storyline. And all through her life, from a little girl all the way up, she wants to become a police officer. She eventually gets to that point, but she has to go through a whole bunch of family factor issues. See, Mother Bonnie Hopps says to Judy one time when Judy is striving to really put her arms around these dreams, this calling that's on the inside. She said, of course, it's okay to have dreams. That seems encouraging. And then her dad, Stu Hopps, says, just as long as you don't believe too much in them. Isn't that how family can do sometimes? They can pull us down unknowingly. But notice Stu Hopps says, Judy, you ever wonder how your mom and me got to be so happy? Young Bonnie Hopps says, nope. Stu Hopps says, well, we gave up on our dreams and we settled, right, Bond? So many times in our lives we are just settling. We're looking at other people being used and we're like, man, God, I celebrate them. I celebrate the call that's upon their lives. But what about the call upon your life? But Bonnie Hopps, he goes on and says, oh yes, that's right, Stu. We settled hard. I want you to realize you can't let nobody in your life cause you to settle. Put it in the chat. Settle, settle. I will not settle. That whole process. But don't let family factor put you in a box in your life. You got to start living outside of the box. You got to start living in the impossible things that you thought that you could not accomplish. Because with God, we talked about this, all things are possible. Pastor Henry Davis, he brought this out in his sermon in Luke 5:4. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a cast. Isn't he praises in the house and say, you know what? I got to launch out into the deep. I've been concerned. I've been afraid. I've been believing that I could not accomplish the dreams that God has put on the inside of me. But I'm telling you just to hold on. I dare you right now to take a time of praise and say, Lord, use me for your service. Lord, I want to be anointed for you. Look at these final scriptures of the day, Luke 4:28. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And rose up and thrust them out of the city, and they led them to the brow of the hill which their city was built, and that they might throw him down over the cliff. That's Jesus. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. Final point. I love this one. What God has for me It is for me. There ought to be some shouts of praise. Can you put some emoticons, some claps, some hands, some lifted up hands, whatever you can put in there. What God has for me, it is for me. Yes, yes. When we're walking in our anointing, sometimes we're not going to be liked. People are not going to understand us. We're not going to be able to hang out with those friends like we used to, simply because we got a calling. We got a calling on our lives, and we can sense the presence and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the anointing on our lives. Look at Luke 4:28. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. You notice how they diminished him? But they were happy that he was able to teach and read properly. They were happy that he was this speaker of the time. It flowed good, made him feel good. But when he started speaking prophetically, somebody said, "Isn't that Joseph's son?" They began to diminish him, and they began to process that thing, and they got angry at the anointing. Yes, because they were so angry, notice what they did in Luke 4:29, and rose up and thrust them out of the city, and they led them to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. They were so upset, they go to celebrating Jesus to wanting to kill Jesus. You got to be careful when you walking in your anointing. You may want everybody to like you, but it's not going to happen all the time. But we got to stay close to the Lord. But when you're walking with God, God has you. He has a covering over you. Look at Luke 4:30. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. Some of you need to shout and say, that's what it was. God had his ministering angels all about me. And that's what it's about when we begin to embrace the sovereignty of God. When we learn that God is our everything. Blogger Swapnil Paul, he wrote this and it really caught my attention. When you grasp the call of God, you just got to praise him. You got to thank him for everything that's in your life, because you know the fulfillment of the calling that he's working in you is everything. He says, I'll praise you in the good times. I'll praise you in the bad. I'll praise you when I'm happy. I'll praise you when I'm sad. I'll praise you in my living, and I'll praise you in my death. I'll praise you, Lord, with all my heart as long as I have breath. And then he goes on, you are worthy. You are worthy. You're worthy of the praise. He continues on. See, when you got the anointing in your life, you just got to say it. I'll praise you in my sickness. I'll praise you in my health. I'll praise you in my poverty. I'll praise you in my wealth. I'll praise you in the sunshine. I'll praise you when it rains. I'll praise you, Lord, with all my heart and glorify your name. Are there any praises in the house? I know some of you done kicked off of those bedroom shoes, and you're feeling the movement of the Spirit, the anointing upon your life. He said, you're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy of the praise. He said, I'll praise you when I'm hungry. I'll praise you when I'm fed. I'll praise you in my sleepless nights. I'll praise you on my bed. Any praises out there? I'll praise you in my weakness. I'll praise you in your power. I'll praise you, Lord, with all my heart until my final hour. That's why we can celebrate the fact that our Savior, Jesus Christ, he didn't stop there in the synagogue, but went to the cross of Calvary, taking nails in his hands and nails in his feet. There he took our burdens, our griefs, and our sins, died on that cross, was put in a cold grave. But there ought to be some shouts of praise and say, I thank God for the anointing. 3 days later, he gets up with all power and all glory, so that now in our season, we can walk in his power. Yes, he has been raised on that third day with all power. Can you put in the chat all, A-L-L, all power? And now he's ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for us. The facets of the call. He is interceding for us. Why? So that we will do all that he has for us. He wants us to embrace that calling that he specifically put in our hearts. Saints, what's your choice going to be? Are you going to reach out? Are you going to cast those nets out? Push out into the deep. God has so much for you. He is so faithful. If you don't know him, why continue on in this life of despondency? It doesn't matter. You can look and look, and there'll be brief times of pleasure and excitement, but you'll always end up with that emptiness. But the scriptures are clear. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. God wants to give you that gift and encompass it in His anointing upon your life. Man, cry out to Him right now. He will save you, and you'll be on the path of purpose, of call, that you can impact so many people around you, and they'll know it is bigger than you. It's all about the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this word. Thank you, Jesus, for walking in your calling. In spite of the adversity, thank you for showing us the anointing. Lord, would you allow that anointing to fall upon us, that the calling that you place in our lives will be fulfilled. Lord, those who are struggling today, Lord, maybe they have sickness in their body, disease in their body. Maybe they have handicaps that they feel like you can't use. God, would you touch them and let them know with you, everything is possible. Father, let them know that you knew that they would be in this situation and they could cry out like Paul the Apostle, when I'm weak, then am I strong. So Lord, we just praise you. And again, thank you for the anointing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
You fight on, you fight on, you fight on, you fight on. Put your sword in your hand and you fight on. Oh, you fight on, you fight on, you fight on. Put your sword in your hand and you fight on. You fight on, listen. Never been to heaven, but I've been told the streets up there are paved with gold. Put your sword
in your hand
and you fight on.
Fight on.
Oh, you fight on.
Oh, you fight on.
My body, but not in my soul. Keep your sword
in your hand
and you fight on. Yeah.
You fight on.
Oh, you fight on.
Oh, you fight on.
You've got to fight on.
Oh, fight on.
Just keep your sword
in
God's hand and you fight on. You fight
on.
Listen, I never been to heaven, but I've been told the streets up there paved with gold. Keep your sword
in your hand
and you fight on.
You fight
on. You fight on.
You fight on.
You got to fight on.
You fight on.
Just keep your sword
in your hand.
Just keep your. And you fight on, you fight, and you fight on, keep on fighting, you fight on, keep on fighting, you got to fight on, you got to fight on, never been to heaven, but I've been told, the streets up there, all painted with gold, you got to keep on fighting, keep your sword in your hand. The word of God in your heart. Keep on fighting. You got to keep on fighting. You fight on. You fight on.
You fight on.
Just keep your sword. Keep your sword
in your hand. You fight on.
You fight on. You fight on.
You fight on.
You fight on.
Your
just keep your soul
in your hand.
Just keep.
got the fight on. Keep on fighting. When friends talk about you, you fight on. Just keep on fighting. Keep on fighting. You fight on.
You fight on.
You fight on. Keep your sword in your hand. You fight on. You fight.
We just thank you so much for just being with us during this communion time. I'm telling you, when COVID came, I never conceived that we'd be still in virtual connections and being able to do communion. But it's been a blessing because we've been able to reach so many people when they're on vacation. Some have compromised immune systems. Others just need a little time of alone. And God is able to minister to our hearts. So I just thank the Lord that He's allowed Bianca and I to continue to do this, to take communion with you. Some people, even in in-person service, they'll go home and they'll tune in to communion so that they can take it with someone else or to focus in even more. So before we take communion today, we want to pray over the articles, the juice and the bread. And I'm grateful to have Bianca. Before we go into communion, this is my habit. Are we good? Are we good? This is what she said today. She said, we're good for today. So we are good for today to take communion together. So Bianca, would you pray over the bread and the juice?
Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you for the wonderful, wonderful things that you have done for us, Lord. And we thank you most importantly for your son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, who took our place so that we could have a right relationship with you. And Father, we ask that you would just bless the bread that we're about to partake in and bless the juice that we're about to receive, Lord, as we remember the death, burial, and resurrection of your son, Jesus. Lord, help us not to take it in an unworthy manner. Help us to keep our hearts and minds focused on you and to celebrate all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I want you to go ahead and get those articles, bread. If you were in the in-person service, you can get a couple of them, a few of them, and take them home. Or if you don't, you don't have the ability to get these nice little cups that we have, just get some bread. Get some apple juice, some grape juice that you have. You don't have that, some water, some bread, some crackers. The biggest thing is the symbol. We're celebrating what Christ did for us. And the bread and juice symbolize that awesome sacrifice for us. 1 Corinthians 11:23, Paul the Apostle, he gets a revelation of what was taking place, you know, and the urgency. He said, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. But he goes on to another part. He says, he who drinks and eats in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks, and this is a critical part, will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And we don't want to be guilty, right, of taking this. But that next verse, it says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And then it goes back again, for he who eats in an unworthy manner, we've got to make sure that we get this right, because now it says, now you're going to be guilty of that judgment. And we don't want judgment upon our lives. It says, for this reason, many are weak and sick amongst us, and many have died. And so this is very, very important. But if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged, because God is the one that gives so much grace and mercy. And so I want you to embrace that. When Jesus was in that upper room, and he hears, he's with flawless, with disciples that are flawed. He's the only flawless one that's in the room. They've got issues, but yet he grabs that bread and he breaks it.
And I can see the room quietening down as he breaks it and he gets their attention. He says, "This represents my body that's going to be broken for you. As often as you eat it, do it in remembrance of him. Let us eat together." As the disciples are quiet now because they are chewing on the bread, he grabs that goblet that would generally be shared amongst them all. And I can see him lifting it up and says, "This represents my blood." And all of a sudden, I can see them focusing in on the color, like his blood. "As often as we drink it, let's do it in remembrance of him. Let us drink together." What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Just to know what Christ has done for us, to help us to stay focused in on him and to never, ever forget that sacrifice that he did on Calvary. What a fulfillment of his call for us. Well, as we leave this place for now, I want you to just resonate with the fact that Jesus is Lord and he loves you. You be blessed and we'll see you soon.
If you are a young person between the ages of 4 and 19, please join us today for our Youth Connect in the sanctuary at 2 p.m. Later today at 4 p.m., Pastor Woods will be the guest speaker at Whosoever Will Baptist Church. Please see our website, ebcnc.com, for details.